Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Immaculate Conception is a cause of joy both for heaven and for earth. The Immaculate Conception is the delight of God the Father, because for him it is to beget a daughter. For by the infusion of grace we become children of God. And since the loss of grace by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, human beings could not have been called properly children of God, but only creatures of God, for they did not share in the nature of God, which is the effect of sanctifying grace. But with this infusion of grace, and this most excellent infusion of grace into the conceived soul of the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, God the Father begets a daughter. For him it is to recreate the human race. For the human race in sin is a human race which is dead. And this recreation of the human race is accomplished through the grace of Christ. And our Blessed Lady, therefore, receives in advance the grace of Christ so that she may be absolutely full of grace, as the angel Gabriel announces to her. That is, from the very instant of her conception, full of grace, so that sin never even came near her, nor would. Such are the demands of purity that the incarnation will make upon that dwelling place which it chooses upon earth, the Mother of God. For God the Father, it is to make a jewel of creation, most beautiful of all creatures, which he had up to that time made. He poured out upon our Blessed Lady all of the grace which he would have poured out in the Old Testament had Adam not sinned. This grace was, as it were, stored up for her for all of these ages upon ages, and let go with great joy into that tiny soul in the womb of Saint Anne. For the Son of God, it is joy and delight, since it is the conception of his most beloved mother. It is his mother who will love him so tenderly on earth and be faithful to him through Calvary, and whom he will one day assume to heaven, and whose head he will one day crown with his own hand. He has the joy of seeing the effect of his own redemption that he will accomplish by his precious blood in her, in advance, by special privilege. For our Blessed Lady received the greatest of all redemptions. For it is better to prevent harm from being done than to repair harm that has already been done. When the waters of baptism, which are sacramentally the blood of Christ, when they run down upon our heads, the redemption of Christ repairs the damage of sin in us, a sin already existing. And that is wonderful. But it is even greater if the redemption of Christ is applied to us at the very instant of our conception, for that is to prevent the soul from receiving original sin or the effects of original sin. Thus, our Blessed Lady's redemption was most perfect. And this is a joy to God the Son, who sees the perfection of the effect of his redemption in our Blessed Lady. He sees in her the enemy of Satan, whom he will conquer, and the mother whom he will give to his beloved human race, which he will redeem by his blood. On the cross, just before his heart will be pierced, his sacred heart, he will say, "Son, behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son." And as he loves the human race with a intense and most tender love, so he will love to give his own mother to this race. So he delights to see his mother conceived immaculately in the womb of Saint Anne. God the Holy Ghost rejoices in the Immaculate Conception because he sees in Our Lady a mystical spouse, a spouse of the spiritual life, whom he will take to himself and elevate so that she will merit the many titles that are given to her in her litany. She will be the soul that will be most united to the Holy Ghost apart from the human soul of our Blessed Lord. She is the image of the Incarnation, for in her is accomplished the greatest possible union with God without the very grace of union, that is, that grace by which the nature, the human nature of Christ was assumed to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Apart from that most exalted grace, the level of sanctity which our Blessed Lady achieved is the greatest possible level short of actually being united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity substantially. The Holy Ghost sees in her the perfection of his work of sanctification. For no creature, except for our Lord's sacred humanity, will come so close to God as she. She is, in a word, man without sin. The angels rejoice in the Immaculate Conception, for they marvel at such an act of God, that he would take a creature who is below them and by his grace raise her to the heights of sanctity so that she will be the queen of angels. They marvel that they do not find among themselves the degree of love of God, the image of God, which they behold in the Blessed Virgin Mary. They rejoice at the conception of their queen, whom they will one day bear to heaven, body and soul. They rejoice for the fact that the Immaculate Conception is the dread of Satan and hell, who are their ancient and perpetual enemies, the devils who inhabit hell are angels, and the angels of heaven therefore have a special enmity with them, for they are of the same nature, and the Immaculate Conception is the beginning of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over the servitude that Satan has put human beings to in this world. How many devils will be conquered by sinners coming to the Immaculate Conception as the Mediatrix of all graces? And the earth rejoices, men rejoice, because finally the dawn of their salvation is breaking. At long last, there is a member of their race over whom Satan has no dominion. And she will give birth to the Savior, who will break the bonds of the devil and of sin over the human race. It is like the first light of dawn for the human race. Men rejoice because finally there is something dignified about our race. There is something besides shame and sin. She is our sinful race's solitary boast, for she is preserved of this stain of sin. In her is grace, purity, sinlessness, and love of God, wisdom. And while she is entirely the work of God, she is nonetheless a member of our race. She is a child of St. Joachim and St. Anne. And this is a cause of joy for us, that at long last the earth may produce for heaven a fragrance of holiness rather than the stench of sin. The central cause for this joy of heaven and earth in the Immaculate Conception is the sinlessness of the Mother of God. That sinlessness is what unites heaven and earth in a common joy. God and the angels look upon the sinlessness of the Immaculate Conception and rejoice. We look upon her sinlessness and rejoice. It is this sinlessness, this purity of soul, which should be the lesson for our lives. This is what unites us to God. For just as our Lord came to save sinners from their sins, so the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived immaculately, so that he who is laden with sin may be freed from it. Our Lady is like a bridge, both through her intense love of God and purity of soul on the one hand, and through her motherly love of men on the other. A bridge which leads men to the redemptive love of God. There is only one way that we can go if we go to Mary, and that is to her Son. She is the door that leads to heaven. And just as if you cross the bridge, there is simply one goal at the end of that bridge, so also if you go to the sinless Mother of God, there is but one way that she will lead you, and that is to her divine Son, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And she does that because she is sinless, and she has that place between her Son and the human race, because she is the Immaculate Conception. Let then the angels of God rejoice in her. Let the saints rejoice in her. Let sinners look to her with hope and confidence, that where they did not follow her sinlessness, they may place their hope in her power of intercession before God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.